The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
As we welcome all of our Facebook Live audience, we welcome our YouTubers, and we welcome you guys on podcasts. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero. And tonight, I want to deal with a particular, this is going to be an interesting subject. And I just want to talk to you for the next maybe 20 to 30 minutes about a possibility. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I kind of want to hear your feedback on this, and we're going to talk about this tonight. This is what our segment's going to be about. And I'm just going to read I'm going to talk about some historical stuff. I'm going to show you some major events that took place, and then some major move of God's that transpired right around the same generation and in the same time frame as these major disasters. And I will start out by saying this. When 9/11 took place, everybody remembers where they were. And if there's some folks on here that are old enough, they'll remember where they were during Pearl Harbor. But every major event in American history, and again, I'm only speaking from an American perspective. I know there's people that's going to come on here from the UK and from Australia and from different locations, but just bear with me because you guys are included in this as well. But I'm only using this from an American perspective. But we all remember where we were on 9/11, September 11, 2001. Every one of us can remember that date, not because, obviously because it was the terrorist attack, on American soil, one of the greatest loss of lives from a terrorist attack in American history. There at the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, and then the other events that took place on that day. But not just because of that alone, but it was that event changed everything we knew. Life was never the same. When I've had conversations with people and they have asked me personally, when can you pinpoint a certain time frame, a day or an event that changed the course of history or changed everything that we knew, that we once knew? And I always inevitably, at least for me, I'm 43 years of age, and for me it was 9/11. I remember everything changed from that day forward. From that Tuesday, September 11th, there was policies put into place, events took place, the Patriot Act, all kinds of things that begin to unfold from that day forward. And as a result of that, a result of one event, life as we knew it, at least as an American, was changed forever. Nothing was the same from that point on. Our perspectives changed. Our way of life changed. The way we traveled changed. There was apprehension. There was concern. There was fear among people. Even, listen to me, even on the following Sunday of 9/11, church attendances across America, even the world, even not just America, but in other places, they had the largest attendance, church attendance, following the event that happened on 9/11. So it's very interesting to me. And now, having said that, I want to show you something here. Let me pull up some research I did. And I want to say this to go into where I'm going here. Could this coronavirus pandemic, by the way, we've been saying pandemic for a while, but the World Health Organization has been slow to and apprehensive to actually call it what it is. And now officially, as of today, on this March 11th, they have officially announced this is a pandemic. Now, it's interesting that the date came up too. March 11th. Do you know how many things happen on 11? I don't want to go into this, but I could really go on a rabbit trail here and talk about major world events that happened on 11, September 11th, March 11th, is when the Japanese earthquake took place and the tsunami. You remember that? And there was other events that happened in history. Pull it up. I did a whole article on this. If I would have thought we was going here with this, because it didn't strike me until I just read this date, I would have pulled this up and I could have read all these events that transpired on the number 11, the date of the 11th. So to me, that's interesting that here we are, March 11, 2020, and this is the official timeline or the date stamped. This will go down in history as the day that it was officially announced as a pandemic to the world. There's just something about that. I don't fully understand. It's interesting, but I know the number 11 is an earthly number. It's a worldly number. 10 is the law. There was 10 commandments. You know, there, and then you got to number 11. It begins to be, it's almost like chaos or earthly or chaotic. So you get in. I don't want to get into all that, but let me go into this. The first great awakening. In the 1730s and 1740s was followed by the Revolutionary War of 1775 and 1783. Now you say, why are you saying that? Because again, could this event that we're seeing happen right now? Now look, I don't know where you are on your perspective of this. I know when I look at social media, there's a lot of people with their heads still in the sand. They got their fingers in their ears and they're just walking around la 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 and they don't want to hear it. I did a whole message on this the other day and I talked about how there's three stages to a pandemic. There's the denial stage, there's age, and then there is the acceptance stage. Right now, the majority of Americans, not Italy, Italy has moved beyond, they're in the stage three, they're in acceptance. But we're still in the denial. We got people walking around in denial. They're calling it a hoax. They're calling it fake news. They're calling it propaganda. They're calling it a political stunt. They're calling it all kinds of the 5G networks. They're calling it all kinds of things. But the facts are that there is a real virus. People are really getting sick. People are really dying. Yes, it's predominantly older people. Yes, it's predominantly people with pre-existing health conditions. Yes, it's a type of flu, but it is not. And I repeat, it is not. I think we could move beyond this by now for most sane people that are knowledgeable or at least has the capability to read, comprehend, listen to the news, do their own research. This is not a typical flu. One of the leading individuals on the front lines of this that deals with infectious diseases has come out today and stated that this type of flu is 10 times more deadlier than the typical influenza. So can we please stop propagating that this is no different than a flu, this is no different than a head cold. Again, the denial state. But I don't want to get on that horse. That was a whole other message I did. You can go back in our archives on podcasts or YouTube and you can hear that whole message. But today I am proposing to you, asking a question, could this event, this pandemic, could this lead, could it be the catalyst to another great awakening? In the 1700s, a European philosophical movement known as the Enlightenment or the Age of Reason was making its way across the Atlantic Ocean to the American colonies. Enlightenment thinkers emphasized a, quote, scientific and logical view of the world while downplaying religion. Kind of like, sounds like today. If you read polls and you read studies, that's where we are in America today. Most, we're losing a lot of people. A lot of Americans no longer call themselves affiliated with any form of religion. In fact, Wiccans and witchcraft, and all that is rising above even faith in those who, confess to a faith. And again, this was back in the 1700s. Even Solomon said, that which was is the thing which shall be, for there is no new thing under the sun. History repeats itself. So in the 1700s, this is what was going on. There was New Age, humanism, enlightenment, scientific reasoning, atheism, agnosticism, and religion was suppressed. But in many ways, religion was becoming more formal and less personal during this time. In other words, can I put it in the words of the Apostle Paul? They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. This led to lower church attendance. Christian, and this is happening now, guys, more and more people are not attending churches. Christians were feeling complacent with their methods of worship, and some were disillusioned with how wealth and rationalism were dominating culture, and many began to crave a return to religious piety. Jonathan Edwards came on the scene in 1741. His message centered on the idea that humans were sinners and God was an angry judge and individuals needed to ask for forgiveness. He also preached justification by faith alone. In 1741, Edwards gave an infamous and emotional sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. News of this message spread quickly throughout the colonies. Others came alongside and joined him in his evangelical approach. One of them was a man by the name of George Whitefield. So don't miss this. There was a message of repentance. Turning from your sin, turning from the world and the love of the world, the lust of the world, the pleasures of the world, and turning to the living God. This was the message. Shunning a hell and embracing a heaven. This was the message of Jonathan Edwards. And as a result of this, this was the catalyst that drove the first great awakening. Again, from 1730 to the 1740s. But then something happened in that same generation, which was called the American Revolutionary War, which was fought from 1775 to 1783, which was also known as the American War of Independence. This war began with the confrontation between the British troops and local militia at Lexington in Concord, Massachusetts. On the April 19, 1775 to 1783, resulting in, listen to this, the death of 6,800 Americans. So I want you to catch this before we move on to our next point. Here we had a move of God. There was the conditions. Church attendance was falling. Philosophy was rising. Humanism was rising. New Age was on the horizon. All these things was on the rise. Religion was on the fall. And then some men of God rose up who had enough. They said enough was enough. They drew a line in the sand. They made a plumb line and they began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of them preaching the gospel, they were the ember that started the fires of the first great awakening before there was a great event that took place in the same generational time frame that would result in the lives of thousands of Americans dying. Now, let's talk about the Second Great Awakening. 1795 to 1835, the Second Great Awakening took place. The Second Great Awakening was best known for its large camp meetings that led extraordinary numbers of people to convert through an enthusiastic style of preaching and audience participation. A young man who attended the famous 20,000 person revival at Cane Ridge, Kentucky. Come on, do I got any Kentucky people in the house? If I got any revivalists that are listening to this podcast or watching by YouTube or watching by Facebook and you live in Kentucky, you know about the Cane Ridge revival. Everybody knows about this. In 1802, there was an account of this. I want to read this. This was an eyewitness to the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky when it broke forth. Quote, "The noise was like the roar of the Niagara. The vast sea of human beings seemed to be agitated as if by a storm." Quote, I counted seven ministers all preaching at one time. There were some on stumps. There were some on wagons. There were some people that were singing. There were some that were praying. There were some that were crying for mercy. A peculiar, strange sensation came over me. My heart began to beat tumultuously. I can tell you what that was. That was the Holy Ghost coming upon them. My knees began to buckle. My lips began to quiver. Come on, Jeremiah said, with stammering lips and a new tongue. He says, and I felt as though I must fall to the ground. And 31 years later, come on, the American Civil War broke loose in the land. But don't miss this. Before that happened, this move of God that broke loose out of the Cane Ridge Revival was the catalyst, or it sparked the second Great Awakening that swept through the nation. You ever heard of the term circuit riders? This came out of this. And then, watch this, don't miss this. But right when this Great Awakening came to a close, the United States entered into the American Civil War from 1861 to 1865. This war was fought between the northern and the southern states of the U.S. The Civil War began primarily as a result of the long-standing controversy over the enslavement of African Americans, resulting in the death, this is staggering, of an estimation of 620,000 lives. So here again, watch this. We have a tremendous outpouring of a move of God that impacted many, many people eternally. Getting people saved, getting people delivered, getting people healed, impactual, spreading. And it happened during the same time frame or the same generation, right before, during, or after, because I'm not done yet, that there would be many lives that would be taken. And you say, what is your point, preacher? I'm telling you, this is the mercy of God. The Bible, the Lord says in the Word of God, I will. He says, the Lord is long-suffering. He is not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness. But He's long-suffering and wills that none perish and that all men come to repentance, knowledge of the truth. In the book of James chapter 5, it says that it talks about the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Therefore, be ye patient for the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord is merciful. I don't know how bad this thing's going to get with this pandemic. I don't know how many lives are going to be taken globally. But I'm going to tell you, based on what I'm seeing in history, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I get to another great move of God. This one is profound. In 1906, an extraordinary move of God happened. On April 17th, 1906, a journalist from the Los Angeles Daily Times was sent to a revival that was breaking out in California, in Southern California. This would be known as the Azusa Street Revival. And from this revival, it swept through California. People were being impacted. Denominations were birthed out of this. There was a mighty move of the Holy Spirit that swept through California from the Azusa Street Revival. Word got out. And as a result of this, you clean out your ears and listen to what this preacher is going to tell you right here. As a result of the ripples that was sent out from the Azusa Street Revival in California, yes, California had a move of God, believe it or not. On April 17th, 1906, a reporter from the Los Angeles Daily Times was sent to the revival. In his article, that he wrote. He wrote a piece. He buffooned or blasted the meeting and the pastor, calling the worshipers of the Azusa Street Revival a, quote, a new sect of fanatics, and called William Seymour an old exhorter. The reporter went on to mock their glossolalia as weird babbling of tongues. Now, you got church folks that do that. Some of you folks listening to this, you do that. When the moving of the Spirit is happening in a church and someone is speaking in another tongue, you call it babble. You call it the work of Satan. I want to give you a warning. Let this preacher give you a warning. Stop it. Stop doing that, because you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You're calling the work of the Lord the work of Satan. And if you'll listen to me, I'll spare you from a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, and hellfire. If you don't understand it, keep your mouth shut about it. I'm trying to help you out. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you out. But don't miss it. This reporter reported, he went in there, he came right into this move of God and called it weird, he called it babble, he mocked it, he said they were fanatics. More important than the critical opinions expressed by the reporter was the providential timing of his visit. So, you ready for this? This, when I researched this and found this out, this blew me away. The very day that he published this article to mock a move of God in California, to ridicule an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in California, the day he published this was the same day the great San Francisco earthquake took place and caused massive destruction. In fact, the San Francisco earthquake of 1906 was a major earthquake that struck San Francisco and the coast of Northern California at 5:12 a.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. So this was so he publishes this, not even 24 hours later from his publication, a massive earthquake hit in Southern California. This earthquake caused devastating fires to break out in the city. It lasted for several days. As a result of this quake and fires, 3,000 people perished and over 80% of San Francisco was destroyed. Are you listening to me? You say, why are you getting so passionate? Because I'm trying to get your attention. You need to pay attention. But watch this. The earthquake and resulting fire are remembered as one of the worst natural disasters in the history of the United States, alongside the Galveston hurricane of 1900 and Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The death toll from the earthquake and resulting fire is the greatest loss of life from a natural disaster in California's history. Wow. Now, what's interesting about this, right when this move of God came to a close, and by the way, countless souls were saved. Countless souls entered into the kingdom of God. Countless souls were delivered, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Denominations birthed out of this. It was a great, powerful, sweeping move of God. And as a result of this, the kingdom of heaven was filled with many souls that were saved. But watch this. But here you have this reporter that blasted it from California, and then this great San Francisco earthquake broke out within 24 hours of that publication. Then, when the end of this thing came to a close, right when this mighty outpouring was coming to a close, we entered into a major war called World War I, also known as the First World War or the Great War, which was a global war originating in Europe that lasted from July 28, 1914 to the November 11, 1918. Many describes this as the war to end all wars. It led to the mobilization of more than 70 million military personnel, including 60 million Europeans, making it one of the largest wars in history. It also was one of the deadliest conflicts in history, with an estimated, 9 million combatants and 7 million civilian deaths as a direct result of the war, while resulting genocides and the resulting 1918 influenza pandemic. Are you kidding me? So here, okay, golly, guys, I gotta back up and say this really slow again. Here you go. You have a mighty outpouring. You have mocking it. A great disaster takes place. The outpouring continues to sweep through, bringing many souls to the kingdom. It ends. We enter into a global conflict, resulting in millions of people dying. And then right in the middle of this war in 1918, following the war, we saw the 1918 influenza pandemic. Maybe that'll get your attention. Which caused another 50 to 100 million deaths worldwide. So, again, it's just intriguing that right before or after these major events that result in hundreds of millions of people dying, losing their life, you see the sovereignty, the mercy of God being played out, pouring out His Spirit, sweeping the nation. Not just America, but even in England, even in Australia, and even in other locations of the world. Why? Again, because He's long-suffering and He wills that none perish. So He's casting out a great net, trying to get people to come into the kingdom. Andrew Guy once said, quote, "God's time for revival is the very darkest hour, when everything seems hopeless. It is always the Lord's way to go to the very worst causes, to the very worst cases to manifest His glory." Man, that gave me chills. I got to read that again. God's time for revival is the very darkest hour, when everything seems hopeless. It is always the Lord's way to go to the very worst cases to manifest His glory. Well, how many believes that we may be entering into one of our darkest hours in history? I don't know how this is going to play out, and you don't either. How many people are going to lose their lives? We don't know. We don't know how bad this thing is going to get. But if we're entering into a dark hour, listen, everybody, all day long, people blast ETH. They blast us when we report things, and they say, "Where's the good news? Where's the hope?" Here's the hope, guys. God has a history of showing up in the darkest hours. God has a reputation of letting the devil make his first move, but God shows up and has his last word. See, this is not our darkest hour as the church. This is our finest hour as the church. Come on, somebody. Adrian Rogers said, quote, "Study the history of revival, and God has always sent revival in the darkest days. Oh, for a mighty sweeping revival today." I believe with you, Brother Rogers. I believe exactly what Brother Rogers is saying. In 1947 and 1957, 10 years, 1947, 1957, we experienced what was called the healing revivals. The healing revivals. Now, consequently, the healing revivals broke out during the same time frame as World War II in 1939 through 1945. Following the devastation and deaths of World War II from 1939 to 1945, including the genocide of 6 million Jews, revival again exploded across the world. Jews returned to their homeland with the state of Israel that was proclaimed in 1948, fulfilling Bible prophecy. And right in the same time frame, healing evangelism spread worldwide. This is where the old time tent revivals came out of. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me talking about this. The tent meetings. Whew. Man, Lord, do it again, God. These old time tent meetings broke out. And I don't believe in all that stuff. It don't matter. It happened whether you believe it or not. Healing evangelism spread worldwide. In spite of resistance and opposition from many traditional churches, revival spilled out from the churches into the community, bringing birth to many revival movements and independent networks. But don't miss it, guys. It took place right in the midst of bloodshed, death, destruction, and darkness and despair. So I want to close with this. So what's this thing going to look like with coronavirus? What if, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me talking about this. What if we get to a place where this tragedy begins to shake up the ecclesia? It begins to shake up the complacent, dead, dried, plucked up from the roots church. It pulls us up out of our complacency, pulls us up out of our lukewarmness, pulls up out of our powerless expressions of church as we know it. And we begin to express an expression of the New Testament Acts church, where they begin to bring the sick, they begin to bring the lame, they begin to bring the disease, they begin to bring the afflicted to the church steps and to the home churches and bring them to the and we begin to rise up in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, and we begin to lay hands on the sick that they should recover. Well, Brother Ricky, what if they begin to quarantine us? What if they begin to shut down meetings? Well, then you'll just do what Paul did. You'll have an old time Holy Ghost camp meeting. Let the fire fall. Let the anointing fall. Begin to cut out some cloths, get some handkerchiefs, get some rags, get some articles of clothing and make handkerchiefs. Lay hands on them, anoint them, and let the anointing be transferred, and begin to pass out these cloths to the sick, to the healed, to the destitute, to the afflicted, and begin. What if we did this and begin to see a mighty move of God begin to sweep through our community, sweep through our city, sweep through our nations? And you say, "Well, I don't have the faith to believe that." Well, if you don't believe it, then friends, you probably won't be a part of it. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. I am crazy enough. I have enough faith to believe that if God's done it, if He did it in the first great awakening, if He did it in the second great awakening, if He did it in the healing revivals of the and the healing meetings and revivals of the 1940s and 50s, if a major move of God broke out in 1995 all the way up to 2001, which was also during, this was the Brownsville revival, by the way, which saw millions of people go through that church in Pensacola, Florida. And it happened to take place right in the midst of the Gulf War that happened in the 1990s. Again, all indicators are pointing. I've said this, guys. We thought, many of you thought, that 9/11 was going to be the catalyst to the next or to the third great awakening. We thought, oh, this is it, Brother Ricky. 9/11, this is it. The churches are being filled on Sunday. They're packing out the churches because of 9/11. Yes, and it lasted for a couple weeks, and then everybody went back to their complacency. Everybody went back to their lukewarm living. Everybody went back to their normal lives. They became patriotic, but they didn't become godly. Oh, come on. They became political, but they didn't repent. So now God, I didn't say God caused it. I didn't say God did it, but I'm going to say that God allowed it. Now God has allowed for another pandemic that we don't know the impact of it. We don't know how bad it's going to get. We don't know how many lives it's going to take. But I believe, based on the Word of God, based on the nature of God, based on the attributes of God, and based upon the history of how God has moved in times past, I have to come into agreement with these brothers who are saying that it is the darkest hour, when everything seems hopeless, that God is going to come through. He's going to come through and show Himself strong and mighty. Again, I said it. The devil makes the first move, but God always has the last word. Do you believe that today? That's my hope, friends. That's my hopes. Is people going to die from this? Yes, they have. But we don't know. This, we could be, by the time, 3 months from now, we could be talking about a mighty move of God that's breaking out in America. And sick are being healed. People are being delivered. Revival's breaking out. We don't know. But I'm willing to believe God. I'm willing. And you say, well, what do we got to do, Brother Ricky? What do we got to do? Guys, I'm telling you, the blueprints are here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's always been the blueprint. I want to read this really slow because I got to get you to get this into your spirit. And when we as the collective body of the Christ, I don't care if you're First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Pentecostal, First Chosen, Frozen Chosen, Apostolic, Oneness, I don't care what you, listen, if we will come into agreement that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and begin to do exactly what the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, now let's just stop right there. I didn't think I was going to do a word study on this, but I've got to break this down for you in Hebrew. First of all, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this warning is not to the world. This is not to the unregenerated. He said, if my people, these are covenant with God, those whose God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was written Old Covenant, Old Testament. Today, we would say, my people are those who bear the name of Christ, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you call yourself a believer, you call yourself a Christian, you're blood bought, you're born again, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then this is to you. If my people, listen, this is us. If my people who are called by my name, now here's where it's going to require us to do something. If they will humble themselves with this word, this phrase, humble themselves, and the Hebrew understanding of this in the connotation of what this means, it means to fast. It means humbling yourself to the point of fasting. Fasting. I know that's a cuss word to a lot of people. Fasting. Don't wait till you have to go on a forced fast because you have to ration food. He says, if my people, that's us, who are called by my name, will humble themselves through fasting and pray. We got to pray like never before, but there's more. And seek my face. Seek my face. Seek his will. Jesus said in the New Testament, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they do not know, and they will not follow. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I hear preachers all the time get up and they begin to preach this, and they will begin to blast sinners. Well, God will bring revival if the sinners will repent. This is not a warning to sinners. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not addressing the unregenerate. It's not addressing sinners. Guys, sinners are always going to be sinners. They're always going to be wicked. They're always going to be abominable. They're always going to be committing things that are against God. This is not to them. Context is everything. My people, if they will fast and humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, and they will turn from their wicked ways. You mean there's church people that are wicked in the eyes of God? Yes. Read the book of Revelation. I know people don't want to talk about this. We've got seminaries that teach and theologians that teach and Bible teachers that teach and preachers that teach and pastors that teach that the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. And they teach, watch this, that the God who judged under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. He doesn't judge like that in the New Testament. Well, I got a problem with that. First of all, what are you going to do with the passage of Scripture where Jesus rebukes three cities in the New Testament? Woe unto you, Capernaum. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you. He names three cities there. And he rebukes them. And he says, it'll be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. So he pronounces a warning to them and judgment upon them. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the book of Revelation when five of the seven churches are being rebuked and told to repent, come back to your first works, repent because you're messing around with Jezebel? Some of y'all still messing around. Some of y'all messing around with Jezebel in the church right now, and you're sleeping around with her and messing around with her, and you're giving place for her. And he talks about this in the seven churches of Asia. But he rebukes them. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the New Testament when Jesus preached a gospel of repentance and told people to repent and turn to God? And John prepared the way and preached repentance. Jesus came along and followed the footsteps of John and preached repentance and turned to God. And then when he died and went to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, guess what the message the apostles was? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I can prove that to you in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. What are you going to do with that? You just going to rip that out and throw it in the garbage? I'm going to tell you again, the church has got to turn. It's time to stop playing games. The church has got to stop playing games. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of what? The house of God. All right, so when we do all these things, let's go over it again. Got to get this in your spirit. If my people, that's us, will do these four things, if they will humble themselves through fasting, if they'll pray, if they'll seek my face, and they'll turn from their sin and wicked ways, if these four things begin to take place with the church, not the world, with the church, then, listen to what he says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So until, clean out your ears and listen to what this preacher's saying here. Prayer is good. At least Mike Pence is praying. I'm waiting for Donald Trump to get on board with this and call. Listen, it would blow my mind if he got on national television and said, all right, ladies and gentlemen, my American people, if he got up and he said, and he actually called for a nation to repent and to pray. See, we always want to pray everything away. But friends, I'm telling you, we could very well be to a place where until the church begins to repent and get right and stop playing games, because you know what's going to happen? When you repent, Acts chapter 3 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, we want the power back in the church. We want the signs and wonders back in the church. We want the miracles back in the church. We want the massive healing revival to begin to sweep through again and raising the dead. And you say, I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to see it again. Well, friends, listen, refreshing is contingent upon repentance. So when the church as a whole begins to repent and stop playing games, like that pastor from Cincinnati walking down the street with somebody recording him, telling everybody they need to chill out while he's drinking a Corona beer. You think God's pleased with that? You think it's funny? I saw church people laughing about it and applauding. Yeah, That's my kind of pastor. Hallelujah. That's my kind of pastor. Yeah, and that's what got us in the mess we're in right now. I know you don't want to hear it. I'm old school. I know I'm old school. But I still believe in holiness. I still believe in righteousness. I still believe in being consecrated. I still believe in sanctification and turning from your sins and wicked ways. Am I perfect? No. Do I have faults? Yes. But I'm striving. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I want to put those things behind me and I want to press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I want all that I can of Him. His mercies are fresh each and every morning. I don't want to live as much as I can in the world and see if I can make it into the kingdom. I want to see how much of me can die so I can be like John that said, I must decrease that He must increase. I hope anybody's getting something out of this message today. I hope I got an amen corner somewhere out there. Somebody that will agree with this preacher today. That the church, guys, I'm to the point where I'm beginning to weep over this. Listen, friends, I'm trying to hold composure right here. Some of you's got your grandparents depending on our prayers and our intercession. If the church does not humble themselves and get on their face before God and begin to cry out, and begin to and plead with God to intervene in this thing, friends, then we've got a generation that won't live in the next 6 months. They're going to go on to be with the Lord. Yes, they may know the Lord, but I got some grandparents here for my kids that I want to be here and be alive and see their grandkids to grow up. And see them graduate and see them to do mighty things of the Lord. Guys, who's going to do it? Who's going to intercede? Who's going to travail? It's us. Friends, it's time to stop playing games. Some of y'all's parents, they've got underlying health problems and they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it if this thing comes in. We got to begin to plead the blood. We begin to travail. Let's pray right now. I feel the Holy Ghost on me. Let's do it right now. Lord Jesus, we come to you, God. And Lord, we cry out right now, God, as the body of Christ, God, as your church, God, as your bride. And Father, you said in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people so humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, oh God, God, we turn. God, Lord, let us turn from our sins. Let us turn from our complacency. Let us turn from our selfishness. God, let us turn from this attitude that if it don't touch us or if it doesn't affect us, then we don't worry about it. Because, Lord God, there's people dying on our watch. There's people dying on our watch, God. And Lord, I pray that it be said of us. Lord, let it be said of us that we didn't sit back and we didn't do anything. And let it not be said of us that we sat back and folded our arms while a generation died and was killed off by this plague from hell. This virus that's been sent from the pits of hell. But let it be said of us that we rose up, that we stood in the gap, and we begin to call on heaven, and we call on the resources of heaven. We call on the angelic intervention. We call on the church to begin to repent. Father, we repent as a nation. I repent as a representative of America, God. I repent, Lord, of the bloodshed of the millions and millions of innocent children that never saw the light of day and that were slain and that were killed. Lord, we repent of this bloodshed of innocence, God. We repent of immorality. We repent of prejudicism. We repent of racism. We repent of hatred. We repent, Lord God, of all these sins, God, that we have shed in this country, God, and that we've committed against you, these heinous acts. We repent for turning to other gods. We repent for turning to the God of mammon. We repent for turning, Lord, to a politician instead of you, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We repent Lord God, for the cares of this life and the cares of this world, and putting everything else on the throne of our heart and not exalting the throne of Jesus Christ and not putting you on the forefront and you to the most, and you as the place of the position of our hearts, oh God. God, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you'd call upon every prayer warrior, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and from the west. God, I'm asking that the Holy Ghost would begin to stir up, Lord, those grandmamas, Lord, that know how to pray. Call them out. Lord, they might be in those nursing homes, but God, they can pray. They can call down the fire of God. They can begin to intercede. They can begin to travail. They can begin to cry out before God. I call on every prayer warrior. I call upon every man, woman, and child to begin to repent, begin to fast, and begin to turn from their sins and begin to call the heaven and earth is a witness this day, oh God. God, I remind you of your word. You said that Lord God, you said that hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Lord, it may look like it's a dark hour, and it may be a dark hour right now, but God, I'm reminded of history. I'm reminded of the word. I'm reminded of the Holy Spirit that says that you always move. You have a track record of moving in the valley, moving in the darkness, moving when it's bad, moving when it looks like it's hopeless. God, I ask that you would arise and let your enemies be scattered in Jesus' name, God. Lord, we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this day, God. God, I'm asking that you would begin to move and do what we can't do in the natural and do in the supernatural. God, I pray that you'd put a stop to this plague in Jesus' mighty name. God, we rebuke it. We take the authority that you've given to us as blood-bought, spirit-filled believers, and we command this coronavirus, we command it to die. We command it to wither up like John G. Lake did when they put the Ebola virus in the palm of his hand and he looked under a microscope and he said, the greater is he that's in me, and what is coursing through my veins and what's coursing through my spirit is greater than what is in this bacteria and what is in this disease. And they looked under a microscope and saw this thing die up and wither up and die. You said in your word in the book of Mark, you said that we can speak unto a mountain and command it to dry up, wither, and be plucked up from the sea. You said if we believe and not doubt in our heart, then it shall be done. Whatsoever we sayeth, we shall have what we shall say. So we command this thing to die. We command it to dry up in Jesus' name, oh God. And I pray that, Father, that through this situation, you'll get the glory. You'll get the honor. God, I pray, bring souls into the kingdom. Bring them into the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, if we got to, for a period of time, if we got to go to online services and churches have to be streamed live, God, I just pray that individuals would begin to come in, Lord, to your kingdom. Lord, that people would be saved right now. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody watching this, if there's anybody listening to this by podcast or YouTube, and you've never given your heart to the Lord, you've never been saved, you've never had your name put in the Lamb's Book of Life, friends, today is the day of salvation. Today is. Don't put it off tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, right where you're at. Friends, I want you to make it, this is real simple. Don't make this complicated. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of doing things my own way. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the way, the truth, and the life. I believe, Jesus, that there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. Lord Jesus, you said if I heart and confess with my mouth that you died and rose again on the third day, and that you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And you said, if I repent and turn from my sins and believe in you, put my faith and trust in you, then I can be saved and be born again. And I receive this today in Jesus' name. Friends, that it's a simple prayer, but God is bigger than the complexity of our prayers. He hears your heart. Jeremiah said, these people draw near to me with their mouths, but their heart's far from me. Do you know when I got saved 20 years ago on the year 2000, when I went to an altar, I couldn't even utter words because I was so broken before the Lord. And the Lord and the Word of God says, those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, it attracts the Lord. It's like a magnet. When your heart's broken before Him, your spirit's broken before Him, it attracts the Lord like a magnet. He runs. He comes to you. He's magnetized to your brokenness. He's magnetized to your cries of repentance. And He will save you. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I say, welcome to the family. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, this is what you do. If you just made this acceptance, you just made this decision, this is the first time you've come back to the kingdom in a long time, I want to challenge you to do something. Go get a Bible. If you can't get a Bible, get online. Get on your phone. Get an app. Get a Bible app. It's right there on your phone. Get your Bible. Begin to read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the book of Acts. Begin to read these Gospels. Learn about who Jesus is, His attributes, His ways. Learn about who He is. Go, if it's all possible, find a Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, Holy Spirit-filled church. Be a part of that church. Get plugged into that church. Be a part of that church and be a part of that community. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you to this ministry. We want to be a part of helping you be encouraged, being edified, and being informed and growing into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we love you guys. God bless you. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find all of you're going to find our main website. You're going to find all of our information. You guys on Facebook Live, there's going to be a link right there below under the description. That's where you're going to find our main website, our main landing page, where you can subscribe to our push notifications, where you can, if you guys are watching on YouTube or listening by podcast or watching by Facebook Live, if you'd like to sow a seed of any amount to this ministry, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, it encourages you, it informs you, it edifies you throughout the week, we want to give you the opportunity to either sow a one-time gift or maybe if you pray about it and the Lord speaks to you, be a monthly partner to this ministry. Again, at our main website, all that information on YouTube and on Facebook, you're going to see all that information that will show up on our main website. You guys on podcast, at the end of this broadcast, there'll be more information on how you can do that. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, stay safe. May the Lord keep you, bless you. May His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.